Take your Bibles and turn with us to Exodus chapter 20, the 14th verse, Exodus chapter 20, and verse number 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit. Commit what? Adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what the Bible says. That's Bible terminology. That's what God means for us to understand. Now, some would say, preacher, don't you think you're being a little bit harsh, a little bit rough, a little bit hard? Adultery is not what we say today. That's not what we're to call it. We call it having a mistress. We call it a fling, an affair. We call it cheating. We call it an open marriage. We call it extracurricular activity. Playing around. Anything but adultery. The term adultery is seldom used in our day because of the society in which we live, but it is a Bible term, and it is a term that we ought to be familiar with and know what it means. It's almost disappeared from the vocabulary of modern America. Some say, if God wants me to be happy and my spouse does not make me happy but makes me sad, then I should find happiness in someone else. Even though I'm breaking my marriage vows, my vows to God promising to be faithful in marriage, what I want is really important, so surely God understands. Now, every pastor has heard that very argument. I have sat and counseled with people, and I've heard that over and over again. I'm not happy. Well, I'm not always happy either. And you're not always happy. Marriage is sacred in the sight of God. And adultery is more than just inappropriate behavior. It is wicked and it is sin. Marriage is a divine institution. And throughout history, nations have been blessed when they follow the biblical principles concerning marriage. And marriage, up until just recently, very recently, has been a respected part of our society and the society of people all over the world. When two people, a man and a woman, covenant together in holy matrimony, it's not unusual for friends and family and even community to come and to share in that marriage ceremony. I did a wedding, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, down on the coast, and there at Beauvoir, the Jefferson Davis home, and the bride and her dad came out of the front doors of the mansion and walked down those long steps. And I said, that's a beautiful picture. That is a beautiful picture. Coming to be united in marriage. Marriage is the glue that keeps, listen to me, marriage is the glue that keeps society from unraveling. It's that important. It keeps society from unraveling. Unraveling into what? Into a heathen culture. Without the biblical standards of marriage, we turn into a bunch of heathens. That's what happened. And Satan knows if he can destroy marriage, He can destroy America. And we blame the politicians, and they are to be blamed in many instances. But there is still a devil who influences folks. Without marriage, this society and any other society is doomed to fail. The oldest human institution is marriage. Now, it's not that it's the oldest one instituted by humans, but it's the oldest institution that deals with us as people. When God brought Eve to Adam, and Adam said, "Wow." He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." He was excited. A man and a woman. No other kind of marriage in the Bible. And as we've already said, that's a picture of God bringing, whenever that father brings that bride down, that's a picture of God bringing Eve to Adam. The marriage that God instituted is monogamous. Monogamous. One man, one woman, till death do us part. That's biblical. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what's right. And marriage goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Matthew chapter 19, in verses 4 through 6. Matthew 19, and beginning at verse number 4, well, the Bible says, "And he answered and said unto them," he's speaking to the Pharisees, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder," or pull apart, or destroy. That's what the Bible says. The great old theologian, Dr. B.H. Carroll, born in Carroll County, Mississippi, near Carroll, said this concerning the words, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And I quote Dr. Carroll. He said, "A man is more under obligation to love and care for his wife than he is to stay at home and take care of his father and mother. A woman is more under obligation to love and to cherish her husband than she is to love and to cherish her father and mother or her own brothers and sisters." Because there's a new family being put together, and therefore, because of this, shall a man leave his father and mother, cleaving to his wife, and likewise. I have heard all kinds of crazy things from, I think, half-crazy people about how that marriage is supposed to be, and certainly we're to take care of our parents, certainly we're to be kind, certainly we, but your number one obligation when you are married is to your husband or to your wife. It's biblical. And that's right. It's the way it's to be. Husband, you're to love and care for your wife in accordance with Ephesians 5:25. where the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives." Love your wife. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. When a preacher performs a wedding ceremony, he doesn't actually wed the couple together. It is God who does that. It is God that joins them. The Scripture says, "What therefore God hath joined together." Now we're to do it in a righteous way and in a civil way, but it is God who looks upon that ceremony and looks upon the joining of those right hands and the joining of that couple and what He puts together. We're not to let anyone put asunder. Now God, who instituted marriage, forbids adultery. He condemns it. We read in Exodus 20 and verse 14, sixth commandment here, the seventh commandment here, the seventh commandment where it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Matthew 19:18 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And we note in James 2:11, the Bible says, "Do not commit adultery." I mean, it's just hammered in, and it needs to be. What is adultery? What is adultery? It is the act of voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and someone other than his wife. And or the voluntary intercourse between a married woman with someone other than her husband. That's what it is. That's adultery. God says, Leviticus 18:20, "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her." Carnally means fleshly. Because your flesh desires something. You're not to do that, according to the Bible. For a man to have relations sexually with another man's wife is adultery. And God condemns adultery in the New, in the Old Testaments, in the Old and in the New. He does. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 18, very short verse, "Neither shalt commit adultery." I mean, there it is. "Neither shalt thou commit adultery." We're not to do that. The Bible is explicit concerning that. No doubt about it. Proverbs 6:32. Proverbs has a lot to say about relations and relationships. And Proverbs 6:32 says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding." It means you don't have a lot of sense. I mean, that's what that means. You lack in something. You lack understanding. "He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." Something will be missing for the rest of your life. I mean, there's something that's not going to be there. That doesn't mean that God cannot forgive. He does. Mark 10:11, "Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery." People do not live in adultery after they've been married. But there's the committing of adultery. I'm going to get into all the specifics of that. But that's what I believe. I don't believe that in adultery. The Bible doesn't say anything about people living in adultery. Says they commit adultery. Now, adultery is the work of the flesh. I mean, it is the work of the flesh. It's the flesh desiring something that does not belong to you. And then that desire, if not taken care of, will lead to action. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Let's look at that scripture. Galatians 5 and verse number 19. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're made known, shown, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and that big word means unbridled lust. Unbridled lust, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which means contention, emulations, envies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, on and on it goes. But in the midst of those works of the flesh, the very first one that's listed is adultery. It's a work of the flesh. Well, I believe God put us together. And I've had men and women tell me, well, I just married the wrong person. I married the wrong person. Well, you're bound in a covenant relationship, which we'll look at. We'll do that. Statistically, most divorces result and are caused by an unfaithful relationship by one of the partners. And adultery has been a plague on America for a long, long time. I mean, this is no new thing. In 1920, one in every seven marriages ended in divorce. One in every seven. My great-grandmother, Lulu, lived to be right at 100 years. Her husband, John Henry, lived right around 55, 56, somewhere in there. But they divorced. They were divorced. And I said, I didn't think people got divorces back then. Well, one in seven. In 1940, one in six couples divorced. In 1960, one in four. 1970, one in three. 1977, one in every two marriages. Statistically. In 2011, over 53% of marriages ended in divorce. And this is from the Washington Times, from their statistics. Do second and third marriages fare better than first marriages? No. Now, I understand there are those that marry, divorce, remarry, and live with that person right on. I think one reason for that, they get right with God and they get in church and they serve God. And that's what you ought to do, but most do not do that. 50% of first marriages end in divorce, and just above that. 60 to 67% of second marriages end in divorce. 70 to 74% of third marriages end in divorce. I mean, that's statistically. And I've known people, and I've told people that you need to work it out. Everybody has marriage. You say, now, Brother Wayne, Miss Jessie never had any problems. Brother Wayne's saying this, Miss Jessie just sitting there. No, she was not. We all have. We're human beings. We're going to have difficulties. Amen? We're going to have differences, and we should have differences. We should have different ideas. We're not puppets on a string. But a difference is not a cause for divorce. It is not. Let's look for a moment at Bible fornication and marriage. The Bible tells us to flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his body." He sins against his own body. What is fornication? Well, the answer to the question is found by looking to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let me say, I believe we're looking here at verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 18. You say, why are we dealing with fornication when we're dealing with the subject of adultery? Because promiscuity messes up a whole system. So here in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own flesh." And that's humanity, that's anthropos, that's man or woman. And we get the answer in understanding what fornication is by the words that are used here. The first Greek word that is used where it says flee fornication is porneia. And we do get the word pornography from that. Porneia, pornography comes out of that word. Porneia means sex before marriage, any illicit sexual intercourse. Homosexuality, lesbianism, and adultery is included in that. The second word, as we read down in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication, porneia. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication, that is not porneia, but that is pornuo, and that means to prostitute one's body to the lust of another. Whether that's in selling it or giving it. Prostitute one's body to the lust of another. To give oneself to unlawful sexual intercourse. That's what it means. To avoid fornication, we have to be strong in the faith, especially in our day and age. You need to be strong in the faith. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. Every day of my life, with few exceptions, I pull down strongholds from my life because I know I have problems. I know that I live in a body that is flesh. I know that I must protect the reputation of Christ and His institution of marriage. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I pray those words. I did it this morning. And then I pray, Lord, pull down the strongholds of my life of hatred, bitterness, anger, lust, covetousness, unforgiveness, fear, discouragement, resentment, lack of self-control, jealousy, and debt. You say, you got, man, alive, you're a sinful, rotten, no good, stinking person. Should you not pull down the strongholds of hatred and bitterness and anger, and lust, and covetousness, and unforgiveness, and fear, and discouragement, resentment, lack of self-control, jealousy, and debt?
I need to. I need to. You say, well, you wouldn't have any fear. When I resigned Elliott Baptist Church, I mean, it was, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm trusting you. You're going to take care of it. My biggest help through all of that was my wife, who has confidence in God. And her words are always, God's always taking care of us, and He'll take care of us now. Well, amen. But, you ever done that? But, so I need to handle those things. We need to deal with this old flesh that we have. We need to be strong in the faith. And we need to have control over lust in our life. We need to control it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. People say, what's the will of God for my life? I want to know what the will of God is for my life. Well, here's the will of God for your life. It's not the only place where we're told what the will of God is, but here is one of those places where the Bible tells us what the will of God is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3, for this is the will of God. Young people, adults, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, you being set apart, that ye should abstain from fornication. You say, I can't help myself. I've just got to be with her. Restrain yourself and get married. If it's love. And if it's not, then say, look, I can't see you anymore. Amen? I can't do it because I can't handle it. You say, well, that's just extreme. The Bible says that sex is right in marriage, and that if they can, well, we were in 1 Corinthians. Let's go back over there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 9. Now, Paul was saying that these unmarried women and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. I mean, unmarried, it's okay. But, verse number 9, if they cannot contain, let them marry. Let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And that's not burn in hell. There are people that have interpreted that way. That's not what it's talking about. It means to burn with lust. To burn with lust. It's better that they marry. Living together without the benefit of marriage is sin. It's wrong. It's not good for the institution of marriage. A couple that does not live together before marriage has a 20% chance of divorce in the first 5 years of lawful marriage, while a couple who lives together prior to marriage has a 49% chance of divorce in the first 5 years. After 10 years, that statistic jumps to a divorce rate of 33% for the couples that did not cohabit, and a divorce rate of 62% for those who did. That's something, isn't it? Living together without the benefit of marriage is sin. It is not right. But yet, more and more and more and more people in our society are doing it, and that's destroying America. It's one of the reasons. Now, The Bible teaches us that marriage is good. Matter of fact, I like it. I do. I like being married. There's no doubt about that. So Denise said, if you go before me, I'm not gonna marry. She said, yeah, you will. You'll marry me. You know how they used to say, she's not even cold in the ground yet. You ever heard anybody say that? It's not even cold in the ground. There he is already remarried. I never know. Well, I do like being married, but I like being married to her. There's nobody can put up with me but her. And I believe that with all my heart. You see me as kind and loving. Well, you do too, don't you? Now, let's go on here. We've got other things that we need to deal with here. These are important things, and we need to look at them. But I believe that marriage is pure, and the Bible says, and I use this, as I've said, in every marriage ceremony, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But marriage is good. Marriage is honorable in all. I mean, marriage is to be respected, it's an honorable thing, and the bed undefiled. You know what that means? Outside of marriage, the bed's defiled. You say you're being a little bit strong. I'm just reading the Bible. I believe what the Bible says. I do. And although it is accepted today, adultery is an evil and destructive sin. And it's the breaking, not of a contract, but a covenant. Let's go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 14 as well as 15. Now, there were those who had committed spiritual adultery and as well as physical adultery. And the Lord here says in Malachi 2:14, yet ye say, wherefore? Why will you not regard our offering anymore? Why do you not receive it with goodwill at your hand? Yet ye say, wherefore? Why? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy what? Covenant. That's a covenant relationship. That's a blood relationship. Covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly, look at this, that he might seek a godly seed. Marriage is good for the country, good for America, good for any country, because through right marriage you raise up a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Strong words. Covenant relationship. Not a contract. There are dangers out there. There are dangers. I preached a message on temptation not long ago, and Denise had never heard this until then, but I went to a school in Houston, Texas, and I was very tired. I was worn out. I got into Louisiana, had a 2-week chaplaincy course and a 40-hour week each week, 80 hours in 2 weeks. I'm old. But I drove into this motel. I was headed to the room. A woman walked out and said, I'll help you if you'll help me. And I said, no. No. I went to my room, I locked the door, I chained the door, I took the chair and put up under the knob of the door. We've got a minute or two. Let's go to Proverbs 7. And if we didn't have a minute or two, we'd take it. Proverbs chapter 7. Let's begin reading at verse number 10. Proverbs 7 and verse 10. The Bible says, behold, there met him. Here's a fella. He's out. He's walking. And there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Wasn't dressed right. The attire of an harlot. Women should never dress in that which would identify them as a woman of the night or loose or anything of the sort. And subtle of heart. The serpent was subtle, was he not? She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the street, in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man, her husband, is not at home. He is gone a long journey and have taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, well, listen to her. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Now, he should have taken off like Joseph. Now, look at verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to slaughter. As an ox goeth to slaughter. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. And that means you're a fool if you have sex outside of marriage. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Does something, it's always going to be there. We'll not go to Jeremiah, but I was reading there where the nation of Israel was plagued because of adultery. We need to be holy. We need to be right. Young people, stay pure. Stay right. Do right, do right. Do right until the stars fall. And then do right. Married couples, be on guard. Oh, I'd never do. Wait a minute. What did I say? Be on guard. Love your husband. Love your wife. And if sometimes they don't make you happy, realize that you have a covenant between you and God. Brother Wayne.